This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
Doing the things you don't want to do is just like pushing the car. We've all ran out of gas. I've done it way too many times in my life. And when you're pushing the car, the hardest time to push the car is right when it's in neutral and it's stopped. Once that thing gets going, everything becomes easier. So I try to encourage my kids, my agents, everyone around me, we've got to just get going.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Color of Money podcast. I am your host, Julia Lachey. I am joined by my co-host, Daniel Dixon, and it's just the two of us. I feel like there's a song about that, Daniel. Just the two of us. It's just the two of us today, and I'm kind of glad it is because we were chopping it up before we went live, and we were talking about leadership and the difficulties, I guess, if you will, of leadership. One of the pillars of our wealth building, what does Bo call it?
Continuum.
Yeah. One of the pillars of the wealth building continuum is leadership. And to me, leadership is first and foremost, leading yourself, right? But for many of us on this wealth building journey, we're not just leading ourselves, we're leading families, we're leading businesses, people in the businesses. For Daniel and I, we're operating principals of a franchised business, a franchised brokerage. We're leading other agents, and there's a lot of challenges that come up in that leadership journey, albeit either your own leadership journey or in the journey of leading people. So today's episode, friends, is that we're calling it Leading the People. Interestingly enough, and Daniel, introduce yourself. Say something so they know you're here.
What's up, everybody?
Okay, Daniel's here. I know I get to talking it up. Daniel's here. But I was listening to T.D. Jakes, and he was doing this sermon about Moses and how he was trying to lead the people and how people will praise you. And then the same people were like, we should have just died. We should have never followed you, you know? And so there's all these trials and tribulations that come up in people's leadership journeys. And so I want to just start by asking you, Daniel, first, for those who haven't been following the Color of Money podcast, first, shame on you, go back and start at episode one. But for those who are just tuning into it, introduce yourself, kind of what you do, your role on the team, your role in your franchise, et cetera, and kind of where you fall in this whole leadership journey.
All the roles. You know what's funny about that? I actually just went through this process of saying all the buckets that I have to fill. And when you think about leadership, oftentimes we only talk about what we do inside of our business. But when we think about the amount of responsibilities we have as leaders inside of our world, I have more responsibility as a leader outside of my business than I do inside of my business. And I didn't realize that until I really started cutting out these buckets. I mean, we own the KW franchise. We have about 110, 115 agents. We have a real estate team. We have about 16, 17 agents there. I own a mortgage company. We have investment properties. We have an investment business. What I've ignored for so long in my life is the leadership inside of the household. I've also got to be a dad. I've also got to be a husband. I've also got to be a friend. I've also got to be a son. I've also got to be a big brother. Like there's so many other things that buckets that are full. And so I evaluated all the buckets that I have and then rated them to realize like, where am I at in this? Because I'm failing at some things and doing better at some things. It's always that moving target when you have that level of responsibility. And it's honestly, it's overwhelming sometimes.
It is overwhelming when you think of all the different leaders, the different ways that you're leading in so many different capacities. Even backing up, what would you say, how would you define leadership? You identified that you are a leader in so many different spaces. What does that even mean? What does leadership mean? What is leadership?
We're all leaders in some capacities of our life. And I feel like leadership is, it's leading the way. It's like having, being a role model, being a mentor, being a coach, which we all do in some capacities inside of our life. But I think as in this industry specifically, we've gotten this whole team trend where everyone wanted to get into leadership and everybody wanted to be responsible for people until it's time to be responsible for people.
And then
right? Part of being a leader is like, I have my own problems that I got to deal with, but then I also have everyone else's problems that I got to continue to deal with too. And so sometimes you get hit at every angle with all of the responsibility with that. And it's not for the lighthearted. Like it's a badge of honor to be able to call yourself a leader and have people follow you through the brush fire, through the chaos. In our world now, as everything has been absolutely chaotic in our industry with rates and
and
lawsuits, inventory and lawsuits and everything. It's like leadership now, like the true leaders are leading the pack. They're having their people follow them through that brush fire, through the challenges, and having that vision or that light at the end of the tunnel that you're leading your team through. It's more of a prize now than I think that it's been in the past, because there's a lot of people that ran teams that no longer run teams anymore. Things got too hard.
The way Gary Keller defines it is he says, leadership is teaching people how to think so they can get what they want when they want it, or something to that effect. It's really just teaching people how to think and guiding people to how to think. And so that's, to me, what leadership is. It is being somebody who is helping people get what they want and helping them do that effectively. But that's the key. Like, what does effectively mean?
It's interesting you say that, because I was asking Brett a few months ago about leadership.
And Brett's all good with me now that he came on our podcast. I only didn't like your Brett references when Brett wasn't coming on our podcast. Now that Brett came on our podcast, I don't mind your Brett Tanner references.
There we go. So I was asking him about, he was like, D, one of the things that makes me a great leader is I just help hold people accountable. I think accountability is the highest form of love.
It is.
Because when people are checking in and helping you achieve, and you say you're going to do something, they follow up with you and help you to push you to that. That's someone that really cares about what you're looking at trying to achieve. And he goes, Daniel, I ask really good questions and understand what makes my people tick. And then I help hold you accountable to be able to achieve those things. And that's leadership.
That's basically what Gary said, helping people think how they need to think so they can do what they need to do. That's what it is, to get what they want to get when they want to get it. That's exactly what it is. And so to be effective, you're saying, is to help hold people accountable to what might get them there. And that, I think, is the hard part. Particularly when you do see in people more than they see in themselves, you know, trying to help someone get what you think that we were talking about that before we went live. You've got all these agents in your market center. We've got particularly new agents. You have this vision for them. You have this desire for them to build wealth and build these big businesses. You try to put all these things in front of them, but it's the whole saying, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So there is some level of frustration when you want what they don't see or want for themselves.
I think you have wartime leaders and you have peacetime leaders. And I think they're very different
humans.
What
does that mean?
We're in wartime right now. Things are hard. We're making less money and working a lot harder than we've done over the last decade, over the last 8 years. And so a peacetime CEO or peacetime leader is kind of managing the things that are working and motivating and helping people kind of go. But now when things get tough, we've got to recalibrate. We've gotten attacked from multiple angles in this. And how are we understanding and redefining the business model, the plays that we run, what's working, what's not working? We're in wartime. It takes a different kind of human to be able to fight when everything's going wrong than it does to be able to lead people when everything's going right.
So if we have somebody, let's say, be it somebody in your house, somebody in your family, friends or whatever, and they say, I want to build wealth. You all have this podcast called Color of Money. I love it. Help me get there. What are the steps that you take to actually lead people down the journey, or do you? How do you lead people through that, their desire to want something, and to help them get there?
I think wealth is interesting because you've got to be able to have enough income to be able to start playing the game. I think in our industry specifically, there's so many people that learn to know. And so they read the books, they listen to the podcast, they learn the information, but they don't actually do or execute. I tell people when I talk to them about cost segregation or about investing or flipping or any of the things, the biggest difference with me and a lot of other people that teach these things is I'm not talking about principles and concepts. I'm talking about actual things that I do and ways that we practice. You got to lead yourself first. You got to do the activities. You've got to go get your feet wet. You've got to do the things. And then understanding the pitfalls, the successes, it's the same thing. You got to lead yourself before you lead others. You got to go do the work.
I think that's very fair. Otherwise, I feel like you're a fraud. Like, I hate when people are teaching a class from theory. Don't teach me theory.
Correct.
I went to a parenting class for mothers one time that was taught by men, right? It was this guy that was teaching it. And I was like, this is some like, what? You by default, you have authority that we as the mother don't have. This is the dumbest class I've ever been to in my life, right? I don't want to hear what you
it's
think
just different.
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very different. So I think to your point, what you're saying is, you model the behavior.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you become an effective leader, is by modeling the behavior, which to me, I love good, strong leaders. And it's never anything that they say that attracts me to their leadership. It's what I've watched them do, and I model their behavior and things that I've seen them do. And I find leaders that are like, I really like, I see what you did there. I like that. I'm going to do it like that when it's my turn. For example, Mark King. Mark King, we were at an event and I was mad. I had been there 2 days before he got there. And I was so mad. Ooh, I was livid. I couldn't wait till he got there so that we could talk shit, right? So I was like, and this and this and this. And Mark got there and he was so presidential and he was kissing all the babies and he was shaking all the hands. We did our thing that we were supposed to do in such a professional an inspirational way that was inspiring to me. And I was like, I like what you did there. Next time I'm mad, I'm going to do it like that. Right? Like I saw what you did there. And I like to model people who are actually leading in that way. Likewise, Mark Willis, when he first came back to KW, he was very inclusive. He was creating a speech for himself, but he included all the departments and all the department heads. And I watched how he looked at everybody and said everybody's name and included and I thought, wow, that is really, people feel included in this process. I like that. You know, I'm going to do that the next time I have an opportunity to do that. But it first started with them actually demonstrating it. I like reading books. I like reading books on leadership. But when I actually see somebody do it in action and I see how the people that were around them received them and felt, to me, that's an effective leader when I can model the behavior that you've done.
Well, and it's rip off and duplicate. There's people that have done so many things before us. Find the people that you admire that do it, that you think do it at a high level, because Mark Willis may not work for everybody or Mark King may not work for everybody. Mm-hmm. Find the people that resonate with you and then go model their behaviors and how they operate.
The other thing I think is important in leadership is the building of the relationship or the nature of a relationship. I'm not sure you can really lead. Well, you could. People can be following someone that they don't know at all or have any relationship with. Do you think relationship building plays a part in effective leadership?
Yeah, I think it's critical. Like, I mean, it's an old saying, right? Like, no one cares about how much you know until they know how much you care. And so when you ask powerful questions to people and understand what makes them tick and understand why they're doing what they're doing, it makes your ability to coach them and train them and encourage them and lead them a whole lot more effective versus just talking about theory. Like, the one thing about leadership, like, you can read all the books you want, but you got to be in action. You've got to reflect. Mm-hmm. You got to try things. Like, there's all these like principles and all the leadership books and everything. But until you try some of these different tools and realize like, oh, that didn't work. I didn't ask that question the right way. It's an ongoing skill, in my opinion, that continues to grow and evolve over time as you have the privilege to cast a vision large enough for people to want to follow you.
So there's this article I was reading recently, and it had like some things that maybe like a leader is or a leader should do. And I think we've mentioned some of them. I'm going to go over some of them. The first one, one of them that's not mentioned that I think we should mention before we started is I think a leader is the person that has the vision. If you don't have a vision or you don't know where you're going or you're not like have goals that you're set on going, why on earth would anybody follow you? Even, you know what? You said something that was so spot on the money when we first started this, Daniel. You said, I'm a leader in my own home first. Like, I'm a dad, I'm a husband. I think it's the most critical place to be a leader, obviously, is first in your own home. I'm guessing, it's a wild guess, but I think I'm right, that you probably drive the vision for your family.
Very much.
Where do people go with following somebody without a vision? You know, you can't be a leader without a vision. I think that's the first step is that you have to actually have a vision and know where you're going. Where are you leading your family to? What's the goal for this? What's the end? Honestly, a lot of us single women is a problem. We cannot find men with any vision or any goal. Like, why would I let you lead me? You don't even know how to get to the bathroom. Like, come on now. Like, this is the first thing I think is actually having a vision. And we had a whole episode. I don't remember what episode it was where we talked about goal setting. So for people out there who are aspiring to take on leadership roles or have better leadership, or even just want to be better leaders in your home, I think the very first step is to write the vision and make it plain. What are you trying to do here? What's the goal?
I mean, someone's used this analogy so long ago. It's like I think it's probably like a bold law or bold something, but like you're driving to New York. You've got to understand the map and what you're trying to go. It's the vision on trying to get to New York and then understanding what is the way to actually get there. You know what's crazy about this, though, Julia, is that you think about cult leaders, you think about some religious leaders, and leadership is not always a good thing. the vision may always be a good vision that is being casted, but it's still a vision.
Yeah.
You know?
And people are following it and they believe it. And so this article that I was reading goes on to say there's seven characteristics that great leaders have. And one of those being they're committed to making the people around them better. We kind of talked about that, but the challenge becomes when the people that you're trying to make better don't want to be better. But really, the first thing is not necessarily focusing on your own success, but focusing on how do I make the people who are around me better. And the second step is what you talked about earlier, Daniel, accountability. They actually hold other people accountable. I think most people, whether they think it or not, want to be held accountable and need somebody who they trust to help them do it. Why are you smiling? Do you not think? Yeah.
Nah, I think accountability is one of those things that everybody says that they want until it's time to be held accountable.
Yeah, well, sure.
Then they get defensive. And you're just like, wait a minute, you said you wanted this and I'm working on my skills as a leader on how do I become more inspiring through accountability rather than you said you were going to do this and you didn't do it. So why didn't you do it? A plus B equals C. It's a very simple black and white concept. And I'm learning as I'm continuing to grow. Accountability is not just black. It is black and white, but how do I inspire you? What would your family think about your activity last week? What are the things that you want to aspire to? And is that effort going to get you the things that you want? Well, man, how disappointing is that? That's frustrating. How can we make these changes? And I grew up as an athlete. We watch film and you get cussed out for what you didn't do well and you go work on it the next week. That doesn't work with everybody in my leadership styles. I've had to learn and grow through that over the years, you know?
Well, I think back to the relationship part is there's that thing we talk about care and candor. In order for you to have candor, you first have to have cared, you know? I can't just go in if I don't have a relationship to do that, you know? There is the balance of needing to have some level of relationship in order to hold somebody accountable because I have to first care before I can be like, can I share something with you? You know, you said, or, you know, holding people accountable to what they said they would do and maybe they potentially didn't do it. The third thing on this list for the seven things is that a leader is clear in their communication. Great leaders know how to communicate the vision, right, effectively, and also be clear in your expectations. How does that show up on your team, you think?
It's tough. I think the vision, I'm really good at casting the vision and getting excited for the optimism about where we can get to. I think it's getting everyone motivated to hit the standard. I hate the word standard, right? Or expectation, or the average age of agents on our team is 28 years old. And so it's this weird dance that I got to do with them, which is here's what it's going to take in order to stay on the team. But if you get an under contract, but you don't do lead generation, is that okay? Well, yeah. But the lead generation is for your next under contract. So it's this weird balance and dance that we got to do. I think that the vision's the fun piece. That's the dreamer in me. That's the dreamer on where do you want to go? It's optimistic. It's fun. It's exciting. I think doing the work to actually get there is where a lot of people get held up.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
Even though you're saying a lot of people don't, you know, you got to be careful how you communicate. I think there's a lot of value in direct and clear communication. And I don't find direct communication to be rude. I have worked in environments where, and I'm not going to name any organizations that may have been at recently, but I'm going to just say that it was interesting to me how some people take everything to offense with direct communication. Like you do have to add a lot of sugar on it. You do have to fluff the words. You do have to. But for me, my leadership style, I can remember a time where I had a young lady in my accountability group and she wasn't doing well. And I knew why she wasn't doing well. I knew exactly why she wasn't doing well. She had a bad attitude. She said things that, you know, I knew all the reasons why what she was trying to do wasn't working, but I kept trying to say it so nicely and so gently and, you know, try to go around the bush and you try to, you know, use all these diagrams and pictures and all these extra things. And ultimately, when she failed, I felt responsible, you know, and it was like, I should have just outrightly told her, here's the problem. It's A, B, and C. and this is how you can correct it. But by not having direct communication, I think I failed as a leader. Now, maybe she wouldn't have done A, B, and C. To me, your job as a leader is to give the clear and direct communication on how it could be done differently or better, or to help them get what they want to get.
Well, and anyone that doesn't know Julia, Julia is direct as they come.
I try to be.
Even when you know she loves you, you're like, that was a little aggressive. Like, are we good
bad,
still?
My bad.
I don't remember if this was Phil Jones. I don't remember what it was where I learned this. And one of the things that's absolutely changed my ability to be direct is asking for permission. Like, yeah. Julia, do I have your permission to be honest with you?
Yeah.
If you say yes, I can go in on you. If you say no, then we can schedule another time to talk about it. But just getting that buy-in and that acceptance to allow me to be curt with you, it really goes a long way with just being able to be blunt without just being an ass.
And I understand people do have different styles and different approaches. One of my sister friends, she models behavior for me. She's like, see how I asked you that question in that way? You know, like, so, because I'm very direct. She's like, see how I didn't just directly tell you that was stupid, right? Like, I just asked some questions that made you think that maybe that wasn't the smartest thing, you know? But there are different styles of communication. I guess where I'm going with that, and where I agree wholeheartedly with the fact that number three says clear communication, is that if people don't know what your expectations are, they don't know where they're going, or you haven't clearly communicated what the vision is, it's nearly impossible to expect people to meet the standard, if we're going to use that word, for something that you haven't even articulated, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one you already talked about was take initiative, right? Nobody's following somebody who's sitting around doing nothing. You can't follow somebody who's sitting around doing nothing. You're not going anywhere. So there is the ability to take initiative. And I think that shows up in so many ways where you can tell a follower from a leader easily by who actually took the initiative to do something, or who's sitting around waiting on somebody to do something.
Well, it's a simple concept of just execution. If you can get your thoughts out, then you just got to do. Mm-hmm. Just got to do at that point. Just do. You don't have to think about it anymore. I remember when I was playing football when I was younger, and a lot of my coaches always used to say, we got to continue to practice and practice hard because we want to take the thinking out of the sport. We want to continue to do these things so many times that when it happens in the game, we've already been there and done that. And so that's kind of, I've taken that into business where it's like, we don't want to think anymore. We should have tomorrow planned out today. So then when we come in tomorrow, it doesn't matter whether we got bad sleep or whether we're fighting with the spouse or a deal went south or whatever it is, we already know what needs to get executed. And now we just get in execution mode, which is so much easier than how we feel or thinking about what we want to do that day.
I think that's a great way to go about it. But everybody doesn't have that drive, Daniel. Going back to this podcast, the purpose of this podcast is called The Color of Money. It's to provide conversations to help people earn more, learn more, and build wealth. For example, we were in an environment and Bo and Emmerich and John Clyde, they were all talking and they were saying all these things. And somebody says, oh, when is that class? I can't wait to sign up. For what? I was trying not to be too direct. I know, but I was trying to be like, I don't know why you sign up. You don't do what we told you to do on Friday. This podcast comes out every Wednesday. And every Wednesday we say, hey, go do X, Y, and Z. And people don't do it. You don't take the initiative to do it. And so they were waiting on a class. And I'm thinking, like, you're waiting on a class, which was free. This is free. This doesn't cost no money to take leadership classes, to take financial classes, to take how to start up, you know, all the things that we have these wonderful guests that come on here and share. But for whatever reason, people don't take the initiative.
I think one of the things, Julia, is like for me, and I think for a lot of agents in our world, like my job as a leader is to remove obstacles, to allow my leaders to continue to grow and expand and do those things, right? And so one thing that we say in our world is clarity equals speed. If we can see clear on what it is, we're going to be able to move faster towards it. And so I don't think that you have to have the drive to execute. You just got to have clarity on what it needs to look like. It's your to-do list. If I have a to-do list of what I got to do on Saturday, like it's easy just to go wash the car, get gas, go to the store, like whatever those things are. So it's the same concept.
But is it though, the lady that was at family reunion, what was her name that did the 1, 2, 3, 4, the five, count five backwards or whatever, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The whole reason this lady has made millions of dollars on literally 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is because people don't just get up on Saturday and do it. I was investigating what I've done wrong in my life. This lady made a book called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and everybody loved it because so many people are having a hard time just doing it. Just go. They do know what they're supposed to do, but they really 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And she made millions of dollars on that idea of just going. And so everybody doesn't have the drive, even if they have the vision. It's very wild.
Wild.
Even if they don't have the vision, they don't do it. So how does a leader, maybe you're the leader in your house, the leader on your team, help people do it when they do have the clear instruction? We do have the class. We do have the episode that said do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We do have all of these things. You have the instruction. All you got to do is get up and do it. You even bought the book 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you're still not doing it. How does a leader help somebody, or can you?
Mike Tyson has a good quote, freedom is discipline, right? I can't remember exactly what it is, but I'm going to summarize it. Discipline is doing the things you don't want to do when you don't want to do it.
Yes.
Right? So I got an example. So we're moving around our house and cleaning out a garage and cleaning out this little barn thing and like this whole thing, right? And so the first half of the day, we go downstairs, we're getting everything out of the basement, and we notice that there's water on the floor. And so we start pulling up the carpet. We had to rip the entire wall up because the sink is leaking. It's a disaster. And so we spend an hour and a half doing that. My kids are helping. It's a whole family thing, right? And so everyone wants lunch now. So everyone eats lunch and they got the itis. And so now I'm looking at everybody and I'm like, hey, we still have to go empty the garage and do the other stuff that we were going to do. No one wanted to do it. And it's now inspiring them and dragging them to get up to then go make the progress that we need to make. Because it's doing the things that you don't want to do when you don't want to do them. It's just doing it. Like Nike,
well, so
Nike
made a whole... How did you get everybody to get up and do it?
Threats.
not what I thought you were going to say.
Limiting video games for the kids and collecting everyone's phones.
I thought you were going to say what was next on the list, which was leading by example, right? That's what I thought you were going to say.
Sometimes you got to lead with a heavy hand, right? Like, how do you inspire? Sometimes you got to just get people going. Doing the things you don't want to do is just like pushing a car. We've all ran out of gas. I've done it way too many times in my life. And when you're pushing the car, the hardest time to push the car is right when it's in neutral and it stopped. Once that thing gets going, everything becomes easier. So I try to encourage my kids, my agents, everyone around me, we've got to just get going. We've got to stay consistent with the things, because once we have the momentum, it's easy. Things will flow a lot more simple and a lot easier for us when we can just get the momentum. So we got to just get up and take the first steps. And then we're just going to be in it and the thing will get done.
So 5 was lead by example. We talked about that earlier.
I would have been doing the whole garage by myself. I would have been doing the whole garage by myself, Julia.
It's too funny. I get it. That's different when they're your kids. That's different than adults that you're trying to lead, right? That's different.
Right.
The 6th thing I found to be interesting, I found number 6 to be interesting because it said leaders are coachable. You know, sometimes people want to be the leader because they think that means you don't have to then listen to anybody else, or you can bark orders. And really the reality is a good leader is coachable. They do take constructive criticism. You are willing to listen to people say that wasn't how you should do it. But I think that takes a lot of humility, you know, to be able to actually receive that kind of feedback from somebody and implement it and do that. So that's the 6th thing, is actually being coachable.
And it's a hard thing, because it's like the difference with critiquing somebody and helping somebody is just in the way that they hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if you,
or the think way that you say it, I guess sometimes I could be critical, but
but when you know that I care about you and I'm invested in your success, then me coaching it makes it a lot easier. Not just sitting here telling people what to do. We were just talking about this today on the sales floor as our lenders are lead generating with us, with the real estate team. My agents were helping coach them. And it was a really defining moment for those lenders to realize, like, you're going to listen to these guys that lead generate every day and you're going to take their information and get better, or you're going to get defensive and say why you did something and keep trying to defend it and just stay where you're at. And that's why we search for athletes when we look for agents and people to bring into our world, because a lot of times when you've played a sport, a collegiate sport, a high school sport, you've had to be in that lane of you have to be coached, and sometimes you got to be coached hard.
And so last but not least, number 7 on this list of effective leaders and what makes a leader a great leader is number 7 is they're willing to do any job, from mopping the floor to, you know, whatever. When I got this role as the operating principal, the OP, we call it, person responsible for the franchise, one of the agents said, I just love this story so much. I love watching your journey, because didn't you start by answering the phones at the front desk? In their mind, that's all that they remember of me, was they thought I was the person that was the front desk agent. I wasn't. It was because nobody else was answering the phone. Right. Yeah. So I was like, I love that you think that that was the story, you know, like, no, that wasn't the story. The story was there was no front desk person. They had been let go. So who's supposed to answer the phone when the phone rings? So yeah. I sat at the front desk and I answered the phone. It's a great day, Kelly Williams. You know, how can I help you? And they thought in their mind all these years, 20 years, that I started by answering the phone. I did not. That was because there was nobody else to answer the phone. So I answered the phone. And so if there's something to be done, you know, most good leaders, it's not beneath you to do it, you know? And I'm sure, Daniel, there's a bunch of things you'd rather not do.
Oh, yeah. Brett Tanner is incredible. So he told me, he was like, Daniel, you're too far away from your team in your office. You need to be on the sales floor. Literally changed the last 2 weeks on the sales floor, coaching on the phone calls, helping the team. And it's kind of lifting morale. It's lifting morale. They're seeing me out there doing it with them. They're seeing me with them on the front lines with them, talking, helping them convert leads. And that creates the buy-in. I'm making phone calls with them. I'm showing buyers. I'm taking listings. I'm doing loans. We're doing all the things together. And it creates a little bit more buy-in versus sitting at the top directing people on what to do.
Well, Daniel, I think we've said a mouthful. And obviously, there's a lot of other good leaders and people who we would want to hear from, i.e. our other podcast hosts, Emmerich Peace, Bowman Keady. So the next leadership conversation, we'll make sure we include them on that. But final words, what's the last thing you would want people to know about leadership as it relates to the color of money?
Look inward first. Lead yourself effectively. Lead yourself consistently. Lead by example. And then you'll have the privilege to go ahead and lead others.
I love that. And it is an honor and a privilege to lead others. It's an honor to be in leadership. And it's hard, friends. Like Daniel said, this is hard, but we do hard things. So thank you for tuning in. For everyone who's listening today, tune in next week for more exciting conversations. And thank y'all for checking out the Color of Money podcast this week. We'll check you next week. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.